listening to audio from Grace Hills Church in Aliso Viejo, California. For more information, visit us online at gracehills.com.
Exciting to be here as we think about what God wants us to go through this morning as we're just thinking, why do we do a vacation Bible school? Why do we center a whole week just on the children? Because just as we've heard already by David, that whether you're 4 or 104, we all need to have the light of Jesus shine on us. If you're listening to Noah, which I don't suggest you listen to him when he gives announcements, is that it could be as early as 3 when they want to learn how to shine Jesus' light. So that's what we were all about this last week, and it was a great opportunity just to express that in a lot of different creative ways. You know, when you think about children, for some, children are to be seen but not what? Heard. And so they should be in the background. Don't bother me. As long as you don't somehow get in the way of what I want to do, what I want to be, then you're all right. But don't go too far with that. I was listening to one, or I was reading about this one child. He was talking to another child about just what it means to grow up. And this is what he said. My 8-year-old son Noah, that was by purpose, okay, was discussing parent problems with his little brother. Of course, they had a lot of complaints. Dustin was overheard grumbling. First they teach you to talk, then they teach you to walk, and as soon as you do it, we're told to sit down and shut up. Okay. But I also, as we think about potential, as you think about the whole message of the gospel, and David shared about that, that's something we all need to hear over and over and over again. If we've already embraced the gospel, is just be filled with a sense of awe and all that God has done to bring us into his eternal family. But as we think about that, so what God wants to do in terms of making changes in our life, we recognize that when we come to know Jesus, what he does, we pass from death unto life. We pass from being overwhelmed by our own sin and selfishness to be brought into the place of where our Savior saves us from our sin. But also God now puts us on a life that is filled with purpose to do that which God intends us to do and to be the kind of people he wants us to be. And I was reading about another particular child who was going through kind of wrestling the issues of life. And it went something like this. The teacher asked her class what they wanted to be when they grew up. Anybody ever get that question, whatever age you are? What do you want to be when you grow up? And as they were looking at one, I was pretty confident. He said, I want to be president of the United States. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty good goal. And another one wanted to be a fireman. The other one said, I want to be a plumber just like my dad. And the other wanted to be a teacher. And of course, that was the teacher's what? Teacher's pet, right? Okay. They went around. And then finally what happened is this one boy, his name was Billy, and they asked him the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? He says, I want to be possible. Billy, you want to be possible? What do you mean by that? Well, when my mom gets frustrated with me, all she says to me is, you are impossible. So as you look at people in your life, sometimes that's how you would describe them, whether they're 4 or 104. So, man, this person's impossible. But as we want you to know is that God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a place where he wants you to spend eternity with. And he's got a operating plan for you right now to know his son and to know the light that he can bring into your life. And so that's what we spent our week doing. And so this morning what I want to do is to speak about what we try to share with the children. And I often share this with people as far as you think about how the Bible describes us. Particularly those who make that step to follow him. He very rarely, in fact, I think there's only one particular place in Scripture, in 1 John, where he refers to God's people who put their faith and trust in his son as adults. But then he most often describes in the Old Testament and New Testament as the people who follow him as his what? Children. And so as you think about that, we're never brought to that place in our life where we lose that childlike expression of trust in Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, I think it's Matthew 18, that unless you become like a child, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And really what that's describing is, as simply as I could put it, is that he wants us to come to that place where we just abandon ourselves and realize that we put our full reliance on a person. If that mother or father is in the pool and you're on that sideline and they jump, and they go, well, I don't know if I want to jump. And then they have to decide, do they trust the parent, the mother or father is going to catch them when they jump into the pool? And so we want you to jump in the pool this morning. We want you to come into the light. And if you're already in the light, we want you to embrace that light even more as we just look at some of the things that God has for us. I was struggling with the question whether I had to comment a little bit on Pastor David's sermon last week. And then there was also a comment by somebody, I don't remember his, well, his name will remain nameless, but his name's Mark, is that he talked about my preaching style as being on the long side. Anybody remember that if you were here last Sunday? And so then I had David, who understands everything. And I said, David, who had the shortest message of any of the ones who preached in the last year? And so he looked it up. And to his surprise, you know who had the shortest message last year? Yeah, that's why I brought it up. And it was about a year ago because I preached the Vacation Bible School message, and it was 31 minutes long. And then I said, well, find out who had the longest sermon. And so we looked at that, and I won't identify them specifically, but there are only two choices. The elders and the staff that gave sermons over the last year, I can tell you this. Their name is John. I won't tell you which John, but I did a 31-minute message as the shortest message, and John did the longest message this last year, 52 minutes. So I just want to let you know that I can be short. Now, if we were to graph who normally gives the longest messages, and particularly the longest intros, that would be me, okay? But anyway, that was somewhat interesting. Oh, I did decide to take a quick survey. Who gave the best sermon last year? What are you laughing about? Pastor David did. Anyway, Pastor David gave the best message. So, and when I preach about David, I don't always see a great preacher, teacher. I mean, he desperately lives it out, and I just appreciate not only the clarity and the compassion that's in his message, but the content and just the desire for people to know and love Jesus in a powerful way. All right, well, this morning what we talk about is ministry to children. And sometimes I'm kind of a word person. I hear a word, I go, what in the world does that word mean? Or at least in the context of what it's all about. And so this last Vacation Bible School, this last week, it was all about stellar. We're going to be stellar. I'm going, a stellar Vacation Bible School. And I don't know about you, but immediately things didn't come to my mind. And so I thought I would give some definitions and then get right into what we try to share with the kids. What is stellar? If you have your outline, I'll help you follow along. And my goal is to not preach the longest message of the year this Sunday. So be with me as we get into it. What is stellar? Now, you might be aware of this. Stellars pertain to stars or outer space. And there is an outer space picture up on the screen. And the reason I want to throw that is David and John and... we had a puppet out there named Steve Morris that was back in there in the dungeon over there, and they were sharing the message of Jesus to the children. And one of the things they want to do is we want you to zoom in and see what's happening right now, but we want you to zoom out and see how God has displayed Himself in the world and in the universe. And the theme verse for this stellar, which is the idea of not only pertaining to outer space, but something that displays amazing, exceptional, or spectacular things, is that the Bible says that the heavens proclaim the glory of God, and His skies display His craftsmanship. And when you think about it, all you have to do is look in the sky at a night, particularly in a place where there's stars everywhere, and you're just amazed, aren't you? You say, how did this come into being? Is this all an accident? Is there some handiwork in this? Every star is different. Every planet is different. All the galaxies that God has painted into the skies. And you're just overwhelmed with the sense that this cannot be some accident. There had to be a creator being that put this into place. And so you see the power of God, and you see the creativity of God, and the beauty of God if you simply look in the skies. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that we are without excuse because God has displayed Himself even in the natural world, that there is a God. And what the Bible also tells us is that God is continually explaining, exposing Himself with truth about who he is. And it culminates in Jesus because Jesus shines the brightest light. And so when Jesus came on the scene, it answered the question, what is God like? God is just like Jesus because Jesus is God. And so that's what we wanted to communicate. You can know this God who's created everything around you, all the members of your family, all the people you've known and met, is that God has made that happen. There's a variety of ways that the week went on in terms of not only Bible memory verses, but also just trying to focus on shine Jesus' light. And I happened to be with the fifth and sixth graders, and they were called the Galaxy Guardians. And they came up with a chant or a cheer. And it was, Guardians light the way, Guardians light the way every single day by shining Jesus' light, we make the galaxy bright. And then it was one we began with, but we wanted to make it longer. Galaxy Guardians are the best because Jesus helps us pass the test. And see, that's the message we want to communicate. That this is not just something that's good to know. This is essential. That we want to live under the light, with the light, but understand we are called to share that light. One of the Bible verses that we did not use, we could have used in this particular theme, the stellar, the exceptional, the spectacular, is that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so that's the challenge for us, is not only embrace the light into our life, where he becomes the light of our life. He's the one who gives us life. But then once we get the life, we want to share it with others. And I guess you could say that's that three-year-old saying, shine Jesus' light. Is that now we've heard about the light, we embrace the light and share the light with others. And as we think about that, we talked about that verse in Psalm 19:1, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. Well, what does that mean? There's often times where we use words in scripture or words in church. We go, I know glory, but what does that really mean? Well, I just want to throw out a couple theological things for you so as we think about the passage. But as we think about glory, in the Old Testament, and I have to bring this because I could throw Noah underneath the bus. He typed this word wrong. In Old Testament, it is weight, heaviness, and substance. It's undeniable significance. Do you get that? I was playing around a little bit with contemporary slang recently, and if you're dripping or have some drip, that's what David was telling me this week, and I go, I don't know what that means. So I had to look it up. You know, that means you got some fashion going for you. You got something going for you. The idea of no cap means you're not exaggerating. And then there's this idea of, what does it mean that something is not heavy, or that something that is heavy? I'll give a cliche or a slang from when I was a young person. Anybody remember when it said, man, that was heavy? Remember that? You know, and it was like, that's really profound. That's really deep. That's really significant. And when we look at God, we need to recognize that he's heavy. He's got substance. This is not just a story for children. It is a story for children, but it's a story for everybody of every age, whether you're big or small or young or old, have a lot of experience or no experience. This is heavy. This is substantive. And when we see the glory of God, we see just how important he is. The Hebrew word for that is not that significant, and the only reason I'm using the Hebrew word because David used the Hebrew word last week, okay? Kavod. Kavod is the Hebrew word for glory. The New Testament word is a much more familiar word for many of us. It's the word doxa, from which we get the word doxology. And doxology is the explanation or the study of the glory of God. And what it means in the New Testament, or the significance there a little bit, is the New Testament, it is splendor, radiance, and honor, the visible manifestation of what God is like, his attributes. And when you ever think about the idea of living to the glory of God, we don't have to get it too complicated, is to live like Jesus. When we are living in such a way that people can see God in us and our attitudes and our actions and our priorities and what's really important to us, and they go, wow, there's something significant, heavy about that person because they know what's most important. And so as we brought on the idea of having a stellar week with our children, what we want to do is display the significance and the beauty and the radiance and the light of who God is. And that's what we want each person to come in touch with, this person that changes everything. In the week that we had, what did we learn? What were the significant things we were trying to get across? First of all, when life feels dark, shine Jesus' light. And there are dark times in life, isn't there? There are times where we're not just aware there's darkness out there. There's darkness either in here or surrounding our local experience. And what do you do in that? The Bible describes us before we meet the one who is the light and the life, which is Jesus. In fact, that was one of the memory verses. Jesus said, I am the what of the world? The light of the world. That before we receive the light of the world, we are in darkness. Now, does that mean all of us, before we met Jesus, committed the same sins or the same amount of sins as anybody else? No. But it means, above all else, that we were self-centered people that lived for ourselves. And no matter how we would try to be good, we would still fall short. In fact, that's what the Bible, one of the ways the Bible describes sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That no matter how far we would want to reach to get the God of the heavens, we could not grasp him. And that's the uniqueness of Christianity. It's not us reaching toward God, it's God reaching down toward us. So in your world, you know, and it might be in your life right now that you've never experienced the one who is the light of the world, we invite you to embrace Jesus as your light, as your Savior, as the leader of your life, your Lord, and say, God, I want what you only can give me, forgiveness for my sin, and life with you now, and life for eternity. But then as we think about that, there's some other things we could think about as well. And as Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 is in your outline, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. That's related to the people in Isaiah's day, the prophet in the Old Testament. And they had been in exile. They had gone through all kinds of things. They said, look at you're in darkness even physically now in terms of where you are, but there's going to be a light come. That in the midst of the darkness, a light will dispel the darkness. And that's what Jesus does. If you've ever been in a completely dark room and someone turns on a light, it changes everything, doesn't it? Where you could not see, now you could see. And we tried it in various ways to illustrate that. We'll see whether I can still do it. Yeah, here's the light. And it was based on a rocket ship because we were taking a launch into the spaces that God has made. And as we think about whatever it is, wherever we go, we have the opportunity to shine a light to someone. God has shown a light into our lives so that we can shine a light into somebody else's life. And see, either as we think about the experience of life, either we are part of the mission field or we are one who is the missionary to the mission field. And maybe this morning you haven't made that step to embrace Jesus, your Lord and Savior, that you are the one who has the opportunity to embrace Jesus for the very first time. But if you do know Jesus, God has called us to look at the people around us and pray for them. Just talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Just reach out to others and just try to be that witness that shines the Jesus light in the darkness of their world. And God has his perfect timing, knowing when they're ready. But we want to always be ready to be that demonstration of God has made a difference in our life. And Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Some of you are aware of my story. I've gotten lost quite a few times, you know. I don't know where I'm going. And sometimes those experiences have been in the darkness of night. You know, and I'm stumbling, fumbling, bumbling all over the place. And all I wish I had at that point was just simply a flashlight. Someone point me the way. And we need to realize that God is the source of light for us. So as we communicated the message this past week, for children of younger age, and we who are children of older age, would we admit that? Okay. Some of you are not shaking your heads. Okay, you're a child of an older age. Is that God has a light for you. And that light isn't the one who said, I am the light of the world. But on our next day, we talked about when people don't get along, shine Jesus' light. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit differently than, or in another way than we talked with the children, even though we did talk about it this way. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, live in harmony with each other. Now, that's found out of the book of Romans, and Romans is talking in that particular chapter to the how church life ought to be about. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this kind of language, but people who are struggling right now, either going to church or going back to church, a lot of times the reason people don't go back to church is because they have what they call church hurt. Have you ever heard of that? Which is basically the experience, they used to go to church, they had a bad experience in church, because they had a bad experience in church, they're not going to go back to church. And my heart breaks when that happens. I don't want people to have a bad experience in the church. I don't want them to have relationships that fractured. I don't want them to feel they were pressed on. But the reason we go to church is not because of a church is going to be perfect, because the church is the perfect place for what kind of people? Imperfect people. And we are called to be the kind of people that make a difference in the church, that we're committed to living in harmony with each other. And the only way that happens is if we shine Jesus' light. Let's see if we can do that together. We need to shine Jesus' light, which means sometimes, you know, we don't have to give people a piece of our mind that we could ill afford to lose, right? Sometimes we just ought to keep it to ourselves. Now, other times we need to share truth that might be challenging for people. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. But as we think about living in harmony with each other, again, presupposes something that has happened. Because what does it mean to live in harmony? Again, I'm bringing David in the sermon a lot because right in the middle of the week he goes, how would you describe harmony to children? You know, I go, I'm not teaching, you're teaching this week. You had the best sermon last year in the church, you can do this, okay. Is, you know, there's a couple ways to look at living. It's not in your outline, but as you think about harmony, you can think of music. And in music, one definition of living in harmony in music is the simultaneous sounding of multiple pitches to create a beautiful chord. Doesn't that really help you know how to live? Okay, anyway, you take all these things that are going on, you combine them together, and hopefully you develop not music that is horrible, but music that is beautiful. Or in relationships, here's a medical definition, I guess you could say, or a psychological definition. The psychological practice of avoiding cognitive dissonance or conflict. But can we put it just as simply as possible? It's living in peace. Or kindness, or unity with other people. And really, the word literally means to have autophroneo, which I did say that to impress you, I know a little Greek, okay, is that it means to have the same mind. And so when you're in a situation and you have conflict because you think differently, and it doesn't mean you don't have open discussions and sometimes even debate, but what you're seeking, where do we have common ground? How can we be of the same mind? But as we think about this as well, there's two significant priorities in living in harmony. One is with people. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony with the Lord. Now, have you ever thought about, wouldn't it be kind of a neat thing to have your name in the Bible? I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder if I'll ever get in the newspaper, do something, I'll be put on the, you know, do you even have newspapers anymore? On the internet, whatever you want to say in terms of getting some publicity. So can you imagine Euodia and Syntyche, the one place they are prominent is when they weren't getting along. They weren't living in harmony. And it was the context of the church. I did a little research on that. Euodia and Syntyche, when they first met Paul, they met him in a prayer meeting. Okay, so it wasn't that they didn't know better, but after a while, they became at odds with each other. And what they were known about is they were in conflict Whenever they were together in a group, they knew that there was fire coming out of their ears or whatever it might be, and they couldn't even look at each other with any kind of love and support. And so this is the challenge. We think the church is the perfect place for imperfect people, so when imperfection happens, we should not be surprised, but we have a passion. This is what God's word simply says. If you've got the light of Jesus, if you're going to shine Jesus' light, make it your goal to live in peace, in unity, and kindness with one another. But of course, the most important person to live in harmony with is God. And there's a verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, the word justification or justified is a theological word, but it simply means to be declared right or righteous, get right with God. A Sunday school or VBS definition of that is, it's just as if you never sinned. But it really comes to that place where that which separates you from God is dealt with. That in which you're in conflict with, in cognitive dissonance with the living God, or you're going one direction, God is going another direction, you make that right. And actually, again, it's like Galaxy Guardians are the best because Jesus helps them pass the test. The only one that's going to help you do that is Jesus. So you come to God and say, God, I don't want to be far from you. I don't want to be, as the Bible describes this, BC, before becoming a Christian, enemies of God, because we're going our own way. Get it right. And how do you do that? By putting your faith in Jesus, trusting what he has done and will do for you, that only he can do, that you're embracing and trust and reliance upon, where you give your life to Jesus. And the Bible describes what he did in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates, shows his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, far from him, Christ died for us. And it also says in Romans 10:9, and then rose from the dead as well, for us. And see, that's the victory. It's not just Jesus being a martyr on the cross. He was a victor on the cross because he rose from the dead. He was not a defeated Savior. And then lastly, not only should we shine Jesus' light when things are dark, not only shine when people don't get along, whether it be with God or other people. And when things happen, shine Jesus' light. And this week, basically, we said when shine Jesus' light when good things happen, but actually the challenge is shine Jesus' light not only when good things happen, but when bad things happen. We need to recognize, and the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that does not mean that everything that happens in your life is good. Can anybody say amen to that? Okay. Not everything that happens to you is good, but God can use it for good. So no matter what is going on, whether it's you're going through a difficult day, difficult week, difficult month, difficult year, difficult decade, whatever it might be, doesn't mean you're enjoying the challenge, but in the midst of that, believing that you can shine Jesus' light on what you're going through, whether the good times or the bad times. And let me just be honest. Sometimes it's not adversity that we challenge with the most because we run to God because we have no other option. But when we're going through prosperity, when everything is going well, sometimes we don't draw close to God. We really think, I don't really need him because everything's going well. So whatever you're going through, you need to shine Jesus' light no matter what you're going through. Psalm 100 says this, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 14:1, don't let your hearts be troubled, trust in God. They were facing the reality that Jesus kept telling them what they didn't want to hear. You ever had that experience, people tell you things you don't want to hear? I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to leave you, and you're not going to see me until I come again. And they go, wait, this makes no sense. And then also they connected the dots. I was a lot better at artistry when it was collect the dots. Remember that growing up, you could collect the dots and paint something that looked pretty good? Well, collecting the dots, they go, well, if he's going to die for what he's been teaching, it's quite possible we're his best friends. We're going to go through difficult times. And what he's saying, in the midst of all that, don't let your heart be troubled, even though it was troubling. Trust in God. The translation that we had for the week was NLT. We use ESV a lot here. I particularly like New American Standard, but it's the truth. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. And then the reason is Luke 24:16. He is not here, but he is what? And I think in the Bible study part in our chapel, they even taught that Easter chant. He is risen.
He is risen.
One more time. He is risen.
He is risen.
That's our hope, is that he is risen. So what's the point this morning? I had a couple other visuals up here. One of the crafts was a little door hanger. It was on my door right before I came. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And this tree has all kinds of different characters on it, but this is the tree of our relationships. We want to be people who are doing what Jesus is, seeking those who don't know him, and just being the instrument in God's hand to draw them into a relationship. And if you don't know him, it's coming to that place where you want to make that first step for your life. Secondly, we gave people planet passports. And if you've traveled out of the country recently, you can't go anywhere without a what? Passport. And I often say, I just had a service for one of our old-time members, Shirley Blinn, just a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, I can't remember. The older I get, I can't remember what happened yesterday, all right? I said, look, in the midst of all you're going through, and some of the family members knew the Lord and some did not, I said, as you think about an experience like this, and we think more about life at death than any other time in life, is if you really want to experience again life with the one you knew Jesus, you need to send your reservation in now. You need to have a heavenly passport. You really need to know Jesus. So as we conclude this sermon on time, maybe even a little early, I just want to leave this, that the message this week was shine Jesus' light. And to shine Jesus' light, you need to experience his light. And when you experience the light, then keep shining that light to them. And as you go through life, let that light make a difference in how you deal with the good things that happen in your life and the bad things that happen in your life. Let Jesus' light deal with you when you're going through difficult times with people, and maybe at times you're struggling with why God is doing some things in your life but not doing other things in your life that you wish he had. Because God could remove us from every circumstance that we go through that is unpleasant, but he shapes us. But you need to shine Jesus' light and believe that. And when life goes dark, it starts to dim, reach out and grab that light. It will make all the difference in your life. But it all begins with that first step and saying, Jesus, I admit that I'm far from you. I am a sinner, and I need to know you. You come to that point where you believe, which simply trusting in, relying on, and say, God, I believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he's truly God. He is the light of the world. He died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I could be forgiven. And right now, I want to make a choice. I choose to commit to follow Jesus as the leader of my life and the forgiver of my sins. And when you do that and believe in what Jesus is all about and what he did and who he is, then God will transfer you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. Let's pray. Father, that step is as simple as expressing to you what is the desire of our heart, to know you, to believe in you, and to follow after you. And Father, I pray for anyone here that maybe is not sure of where they stand with Jesus, they might make that step. And then Father, also I just pray that in the midst of all those of us who have already made that step, help us to realize every day is a day in which we can either shine the light of Jesus or put a bushel under that light that you've put in our life. Help us to trust you during the good times and the bad times. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.